Grace and mercy and peace be with you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When all is stripped away, when the money is gone, when you're sick, when you're forced to look death in the eye, you recognize that at the root of your life is the reality that you're dependent on God, that God is creator, and that everything comes from God. You're nothing without Him. God is the God of life. He's the creator of life. He's the sustainer of life. And He is the one who gives and guarantees eternal life to all who believe that He sent His Son Jesus into the world to live, die, and rise, that all who believe in Him may have salvation and life. But many times it takes us a while to recognize that our life is held in God's hands. When things are going well in life, it's easy to think that we had something to do with it, that we earned our life, that we deserve the quality of life that we have. But in reality, all life is created by God and all life is held by God. Therefore, life is a gift. I just wonder, why does it take a tragedy like surviving cancer or surviving a tragic accident or overcoming and being able to conceive and give birth to a child that you've waited years to have? Why does it take some momentous occasion like that for us to value life? Why don't we always value life? Today, I want us to reorient ourselves to this reality that we ought to be people who love life, because every life is a precious gift from our living God. As Christian people, we love life because God loves life. And here at Saints Peter and Paul, one of our core values is that we love life, because God creates, sustains, and promises eternal life. We will always love our lives, always advocate for life, and always be life givers. This fall at Saints Peter and Paul, we're preaching through the core values that we hold dear in this place, because we want you to know, as this family of God, that we value the things that Christ values. And we know this because He's revealed it to us in His Word. In that Word, in the Bible is a story, a true story, about God's desire for life. It's a story that begins with God creating life, creating an earth with the intent to inhabit it with life. The garden was teeming with life, all kinds of life. And how did that life get there? God breathed it into existence. All life exists because God breathed life into His creation. Genesis 2:7 says, "The Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature." Life comes through God, who is the source of life. And God said to that man and to the woman He gave him, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it." This was God's creative plan. Life, breathe life into existence so that life can continue to produce more and more life. Life is God's plan. God loves life. Therefore, we love life. And this is an incredibly important value for us to hold dear and to get right, especially in our world where it is riddled with death. Our world is riddled with death, with spiritual death and with physical death. It is everywhere. Death is the consequence of sin. Do you know this? God did not design people to die, but when humanity rebelled against God, it rebelled against the source of life. And if you cut yourself off from the source of life, you will die. Spiritually, because you break the communion with your Creator, and physically, because you break that relationship with your Creator. This is the problem of sin. It leads to death, all kinds of death. And in our world today, there is still a consistent rebellion against God. And because there's a consistent rebellion against God, there are many who do not have a consistent value of human life. No, our world does not have a consistent value of human life. It has a confused value of human life. We live in a world that has a confused ethic on the value of life. In one breath, you may hear someone rail against the abuse of children by pedophiles, and then continue in the same breath to radically champion elective abortions with no limits. In one breath, you may hear someone lament the suicide of a teenager, and then go on to encourage a senior citizen to take a pill and end their life on their own terms. In one breath, you may hear someone try to legislate for gun control after another tragic mass shooting, and then go on to continue supporting and sending billions of dollars to fight endless wars. Now, I am not offering a political statement right now on any of those very important decisions that have to be made by people with the wisdom that God has blessed them with. But what I'm pointing out is an intellectual observation that there's an inconsistency in this world's ethic on the value of life, and whose life is valued, and when it is valued, and how it is valued. And I see that there's not even much of a value on life, but more of an emphasis on death. As Christians, that is, by definition, little Christs, or people who ought to look like Jesus, we must have a solid and consistent ethic on life. And we do. We love life. All of life. From conception to natural death, we cherish life and we strive for the betterment of all life all the time, because God creates life, and because God sustains life, and because God promises eternal life. We love our lives. We always advocate for life, and we will always be life givers, because that's what Jesus came to do. Look, John 5:24, we heard it said today, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." Or as Jesus says in John 10:10, "I came that they may have life and have it to the full," to have it abundantly. Or as it says at the end of John, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And these are just a few examples of the poignant reality in the scriptures that Jesus came to give us life. Do you understand this? Jesus came to bring you from death to life, from darkness to light, from sin to salvation. Jesus came to give you a new spiritual life, to restore to you and reconcile what was lost in the garden when humanity was separated from God. Jesus came to reconcile that and bring us back into communion with our Creator, which brings you life. But even more than that, Jesus came in the flesh, died in the flesh, rose in the flesh, and will come again to raise you from the dead as well. Jesus is very much interested in your physical life now and forever. Jesus wants you to have the fullness of life, the fullness of life, to live holistically alive. He loves your life and wants you to thrive in relationship with him and with other people. He cares about life. He loves life, all of life. Do you know this? Do you know that God loves your life? It's right there in the scripture in Psalm 139. It says, I formed you, or for you were formed, I'm sorry, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And then in Jeremiah, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. God created your life. You matter to God. The simple fact that you were conceived and carried to term and were born into this world is a miracle. You are a miraculous gift of God, and your life has eternal value because you are a child of God. But I know this world does not want you to hear that. No, in this world, you're constantly forced to compare your life with the lives of other people, whether it be through social media or any other means. You're constantly forced to compare yourself and think if you don't look a certain way or have a certain thing or do a certain activity or believe a certain way, you may feel like your life doesn't matter. Or even worse, you may look at somebody else and compare your life to them, and you might end up thinking that their life doesn't matter. And if your life doesn't matter, sometimes you feel that urge to think that maybe your life is a burden. Or again, worse yet, maybe you think the life of somebody else is a burden. Friends, I tell you, in God's sight, you are wonderful. You are beautiful. You are not a burden. You are a blessing. Every life is a blessing because God is the giver and sustainer of life. Your life is a gift. God is very, very clear in the scriptures about having this ethic of life, valuing life. It is all throughout the Bible, but I think he most clearly defines it in the fifth commandment, as we number them as Lutherans. Some of you might think this is the sixth commandment. That's either way, in the commandment, you shall not murder. You shall not murder. It's kind of funny. When I teach the commandments to people, I always put the Ten Commandments in front of people, and I say to people, especially the first time we're going through them, I'll say to somebody, which of these commandments have you kept perfectly? And they go down, aha, this one, I've never murdered anybody. Pat myself on the back, yay me, I did it. When we take it in context and look at the whole of Scripture, we come to realize that Luther's statement, Martin Luther's statement, as he explains this in the Small Catechism, is true, where Luther says, we should fear and love God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need. It's not just don't murder. It's also don't hurt or harm your neighbor in any sort of way. And it's not just don't do these things, but also help and support your neighbor in their need. Love them, tend to them. And so I need to ask you, have you ever neglected to help anyone in their time of physical need? Have you harbored anger against anyone in your heart? Have you wished ill against somebody instead of wishing them well? Do you always come to the aid of your neighbors? And neighbor doesn't just mean the people who live next door to you. It means anyone you come in contact with. Do you always come to the aid of your neighbors and treat them with love and compassion? As Christians, we must have a consistent ethic on the value of life that supports the continuity of life, but also supports the fullness of life and the well-being and the betterment of life from conception all the way till natural death. We have to be concerned with life. We desire to see life continue, but in order to do that, we also need to do the things that support people in their lives. So as a church, but also as Christian people, we need to also assist with financial needs, with emotional needs, with relational needs. This is why we feed, why we clothe, why we house, why we network people. This is why we do whatever needs to be done for whoever so that life can continue and be improved for all people all the time. Now, there are certainly times where these issues of life and death are not always black and white, and they're not easy choices to be made. There are times, in very rare and exceptional cases, where a medical procedure must be done to save the life of a pregnant mother, and that procedure may tragically and unintentionally cause the death of her child. There are other times where those in government positions must make decisions regarding death and life in instances of crime and war and capital punishment. There are times where we as loved ones must make difficult decisions, deciding whether ongoing treatment might not save the life of our loved one, but will just prolong suffering, and those treatments may need to be stopped. In this broken world, we will face many of these decisions which are difficult to decide and are not always black and white. But what I'm telling you today is we always begin with the reality that God is a God of life. And God loves life. Therefore, we must love life. This is where we start, and this is what we strive for. And when these difficult decisions come, we always pray to our God, seeking His wisdom. We ask faithful Christians for their loving wisdom. And we always trust in the mercy and the forgiveness of our God, who will forgive our sins even when we have tragically taken the life of another, whether it be physically or by hurting or harming our neighbor in need. God is merciful and just and will forgive your sins. Now, those are the heavy aspects of this reality of loving life. But there's also a great beauty in loving life. There's a great beauty in loving and cherishing and valuing life, because this means that in every aspect of your life, in every opportunity of life, you can truly love your life. God created you. Jesus saved you. He's coming back for you. He gave up his life so you can have life and have it abundantly forever, but also today. Life is a gift from God, and each day you can wake up and say, thank you, God, that I am alive in your name. Thank you, God, for this day. Each relationship you have with people is given to you to enhance your life. The work that is in front of you, whether it be a job or a hobby or helping your neighbor in need, is given to you not as a burden, but to put your gifts into action that you may be a blessing to other people. Each adventure that you take, whether it be to the beach or hiking up a hill or biking down the hill or traveling the world, wherever you go, you can do it and enjoy it, because God has given you this life. And all along the way, you also get to be a life giver. Yes, treasuring and loving your life, but advocating for the lives of others, and even giving up some of your life for the sake of other people's lives as well. Our God is a God of life. God loves life. We love life. In Jesus' name, amen.